This is something. All the other parts was written by the disciples, by the prophets, by God's men anointed by the Holy Spirit. But the Ten Commandments is different. It is written by the very finger of God. If God wrote it by his own finger, he is not going to erase it. And so today we are going to continue on the sixth commandment, which is, thou shalt not kill. The good translation is, thou shalt not murder. Of course, we come to this and we see, well, thou shalt not murder. It's all right, we just skip that very fast and go to the next one. But if you really look at this, thou shalt not murder. If you're seeing this for the first time, you're going to see a lot of other things that is in this verse, thou shalt not murder. There's a lot of things involved in this in depth. First thing we need to realize is you find this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. All right, Exodus 20, 13. Realize that God created life. Most importantly, God created life. But the result of sin is death. All right? God created life, but the result of sin is death. Man being selfish, because of sin, he fell away from that relationship, away from God. Not only he fell away from the relationship of God because of sin, what happened after that? His relationship with his closest neighbors also fell. All right? So that's very important to see. And we hear horror stories today, but true stories. How true people who can really love each other at the beginning. And later we hear a story how the husband or the wife killing each other. And these are true stories that they really loved each other at the beginning. Then we hear stories about parents killing children. And children killing parents. Loved ones being killed by their friends. I mean, friends become true friends that you really trusted are becoming enemies. And these are real things that happen in a real world. Because of sin. Well, so what is sin produce? Not only a relationship with God was broken, but also relationship with men, our society, that one another was broken. And that brings into what? To the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. According to Medical News, American Medical Association, this is January 1992, I quote, family violence costs the nation from $5 billion to $10 billion annually. Wow. That includes the medical expenses, police, court costs, shelters, foster care, and all those things. On average, more than 3 women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends in this country every day. This is in 1999. 1,642 murders were attributed to intimates. 74% of the murder victims were women, according to Bureau of Justice Statistics. A woman dies as a result of spousal abuse every 6 hours in the U.S. The problem is not lack of education. Problem is not lack of civilization. I'll tell you, this country is highly educated and highly civilized. So the problem is sin. That is the problem. Sin is that nobody wants to talk about. And even most churches today are very shy of talking sin. The word kill in Hebrew really means to murder. Okay, this word kill. It means, murder means what? Unlawful killing or premeditated murder. That is what is meant by these words, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. It's premeditated killing. Now, there is willful murder, and also there is accidental homicide too. And let us see a scripture here in the book of Numbers, chapter 35. If you turn with me to Numbers 35 to 21. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall be surely put to death. Or if he strikes with a wooden hand weapon, or which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall be surely put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall be put to the murderer's to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity he strikes with him his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall be put the murderer to death when he meets him. So here God gives specific instructions to the Israelites, governed by God, okay, and by his word. These are the instructions God gives that the murderer is going to be put to death. That is death penalty. God is the one that gave death penalty. God is the one who provided life. God is the one who gives death penalty. Because we are going to see the reason why. Now, the government is given the authority to execute. And we cannot come against the government and say this, you know, a good government will have good discipline, strong discipline. All right? A good judge will have good discipline. It's a bad judge who will not, who will tell, I will allow all the bad people to do anything I want because I love them. That's not real love. It's like having a parent-child relationship. If the parent really love the child, right? You will use the rod in some instance. You will have good discipline, right? Because you love the child. But if parents say, I love my child, I don't want to hit, I don't want to do anything, that child is going to go astray. So it's the same principle that can be applied. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Genesis 9, 6. God has given authority to the government over capital punishment. Genesis 9, 6. Romans 13, 4. Let's go there. In the New Testament. Starting from verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger of, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. The policeman is a minister of God in a different sense. God put him there. Alright? The judge. And all these people, the president, and so God is the one who puts the government in order. Now what about war? If there's a war or a battle, and is it okay to go ahead and defend your country? And how about, you know, just the Iraq war that, you know, happened, or any other thing, the terrorists, is it okay to defend our country and then to kill somebody? Is that going to be premeditated murder? Because, of course, our defense department has to plan everything, you know. They had to have some kind of goal and everything, planning and strategy. You know, you plan all this and then you go and kill him. Of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that. They say that that's not right. They won't allow their people to go into war. But I'll tell you, John the Baptist, when he was baptizing the soldiers, he did not tell them to forsake warfare. Did he? Of course not. John the Baptist told them to satisfy with their wages. Remember that? Jesus, if you remember Jesus, he praised the faith of the centurion, right? Who was a soldier. And Jesus did not come against his service. Also, remember Cornelius, the centurion? He was a godly man in the book of Acts. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but Peter never rebuked him for his occupation as a soldier. So, you see some of these scriptures you can use for Jehovah's Witnesses. They are in error, total error. What about accidental killing? You go to the jungle, you go camping or whatever like that, and then you're cutting a branch or, you know, cutting a tree or something like that. You go with your friend and this branch falls on your friend and your friend dies. How about that? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. This is a case of the manslayer who flees there that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. That's not capital punishment. God is saying, if that happened, he can go to another city and he can live. Because that's an accidental death. And so we need to remember the most precious thing that God gave us is life. And life is given by God. Okay? And God gave us life. God alone can take that life. Right? He determines both the beginning and the end. Therefore, God sharply, he forbids killing anyone without his command. That is what is called thou shalt not murder. Now, murder is premeditated killing, as I said. Let us see some of the examples what we see in the Bible on premeditated killing. What is the first? Remember how God created Adam and Eve, you know, and God created them, and in the Garden of Eden, and of course, we know what happened, the original sin, they sin against God. And the first sin, then after the first sin, Eve produced a child, right? A baby. And that first child was a murderer. Wages of sin is what? A murderer, death. Of course, we know the story of Cain and Abel. How Cain said to his brother, his own brother, you can see, sin, not only the relationship of God was broken, but own family structure was affected. His own brother said to him, let us go to the field. Then what did he do? He killed him. This was planned, premeditated murder. This happened at the very beginning. How about David and Uriah? Remember the story? How David committed adultery, marrying Uriah's wife. And 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah, and saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest battle and retreat him from him that he may struck down and die. David, you know, committed not only adultery, but wanted to kill a husband and sent a letter saying, put this guy in the hardest of the battle and after that, draw back so he will die. Wow. Now this is premeditated murder. Premeditated murder. The motive of the heart was murder. We see another incident, if you remember, King Saul against David. Chapter 12, verse 9. Actually, let's see. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Sorry. 1 Samuel 18. So all the Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as wife. Only beware. Valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles, for Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. See, the heart, the motive was, let him be killed. I want to kill him. And you know how many times Saul went after David to kill him. How about Jezebel and Naboth? 1 Kings chapter 21. You will see the story how King Ahab was. Ahab, he was just a puppet. His wife is the one who ruled, right? 1 Kings 21, 1 to 14 is a story of, Ahab wanted a vineyard of Naboth, but Naboth refused. We see how Jezebel planned to murder this guy, Naboth. And you see the whole plan there. How about Herod and Jesus? Remember the story? How Herod was disturbed. He was really perturbed when he heard the newborn king was Jesus. And he told those magi, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for this young child. And you found him. Come and tell me that I will worship him too. Of course, he had something else in mind, right? He killed all the babies, right? But Jesus escaped. They escaped to Egypt. You know the story. How about Judas and Jesus? That was a premeditated murder. And Judas, his motive was to kill Jesus, to get him just for some money, for the treasure. Now, looking at these things, what is the cause? What is the root cause for murder? Somebody who loves each other, how come people who have a good relationship ends up with disaster like this? I think the first thing is some kind of disagreement, right? They disagree. When you disagree, then the next thing is there's going to be pride. Of course, somebody's fault, right? Both cannot be right. Then there won't be disagreement, right? One is wrong. The other one is right. Now, when that happens, when the other person is saying, no, it's not my fault. The other person also saying, it's not my fault. So they accuse each other. Because of pride, then there will be what? There will be envy, hatred, anger, and all those things cause. That's why in Christianity, if there are two Christians who really love the Lord, right? One is right, the other one is at fault. The person is at fault will say, he will admit, it is my mistake. I blew it. My mistake. The pride is not there. In Christ, just like how Christ forgave us, we can forgive one another. And there is always healing. That is only in Christianity. Now, envy is a sin that also, when sometimes we see your neighbor is prospering, right? And then there is some kind of a jealousy, hatred. Your friend is doing good. I'm not. How come this one got the raise? Not me. I deserve the raise. But this guy got a raise. How come this person is doing so good? And, you know, materially, everything. How come I got to, I'm not. And there is always, there's envy. And this can cause murder too, right? People, they envy somebody and they want to kill that person. I hate that person. And this Solomon called this the rottenness of the bones. Because, let me read it for you. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Remember, because of envy, Cain could not endure Abel, right? He killed him. Also, Saul wanted to kill David because of envy, because everybody was praising David. David was handsome, really good looking, and everybody was praising David for all what he's doing. You know, he had killed so many Philistines. Saul couldn't stand it. How about Joseph's brothers? They couldn't stand Joseph because Joseph was close to his dad and he had all these dreams, and the brothers wanted what? Kill him. And anger, tell you, anger is because of sin. And we all go through this anger. Nobody's perfect. All right? Anger, Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, the anger boils in the veins. And that produces murder. Jesus said, if you turn with me to Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Rekha, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in the danger of hell fire. Let me tell you, all rash anger is committed in the heart. The word Rekha here is a prideful word that comes with hatred, saying, you fool. It's a malicious, angry word that comes from the heart that kills somebody secretly. And Jesus said, you know, the best thing to do is, if this happens, if you stumble with your brother or sister, do not waste time. Try to reconcile right there, right? Even if you are in the altar, you know, go direct, worshiping God, you know, just leave the altar and directly go and reconcile the matter soon, that you have peace with God first, even before you come to church. And remember, it all begins with a small fight. A lot of times, you know, all these murders and killings happens at the end when you look to see, it's just nothing. It's just a small little thing that not even really serious at all. Just a little thing. Sometimes misunderstandings, sometimes little things, and sometimes it bugs somebody. Right? And Haman hated Mordecai because he would not just bow down to him. And remember, so he wanted to kill him. Pharisees, they hated Christ. Why? Because Christ was more knowledgeable in doctrine. So they hated him. And so they wanted to kill him. And they did. Hatred is a poisonous snake that lives in the blood. With hatred comes what? Murder. You do not have to commit a murder to be a murderer. Just like how Jesus said, right? It comes first in the heart. If you hate your brother, 1 John chapter 3 verse 15 said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Because it happens in the heart. And you know that the murderers will have not eternal life. There's no eternal life. Galatians 5:21. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll tell you. I told you, you shall not murder, thou shalt not murder. It's not just the surface of that. There's much deep in this scripture. How about your tongue? Huh? Your tongue can kill a person too. Your tongue can be very vicious too. The Jews falsely accuse the Lord of life with the tongue. You can kill a person with a pen, as David penned Uriah to death, right? And also you can kill a person with a plot, as Jezebel plotted against Nabal. With the tongue, it's a very vicious thing. We know, if you read the book of James and see how powerful this little muscle can be. It can, we can one time can praise the Lord, and the other time we can curse God. Now let me tell you, another murder that is happening in this country. Remember, Hitler was responsible for killing over 12 million people at the Holocaust. At the same time, Stalin was, he executed a lot of people. 18 million Russians were killed. The abortionists in this country have killed over 40 million unborn. Today, there are 4,400 babies killed every day. Every single day. 4,400 babies killed every day. About 3 babies every minute being aborted, being killed. Every minute, 3 babies are being killed in this nation. Abortion is outright murder. Of course, this country is being influenced by our society through television, movies, music that tempts people to sexual immorality. And after that, they want to abort the baby. So 95% of the abortions are done as a means of birth control. 95%. That means people want sex, but not children. Right? They want sex, but not children. Now let me tell you, this is big business. That's why there are so many anti-abortionists. Because this is big business, big money. There's a lot of money involved. Unborn baby tissues are being used for makeup, skin creams, shampoos. Abortion is a huge business with income over $1 billion. It is a money maker, big money maker for the doctors who perform abortions. They get big, big money. And also abortion clinic. Child, unprocessed specimen can be sold for $50. 8-week-old child, the liver can be sold for $150. The spleens of an 8-week-old child, that is in the stomach, can be sold for $75. The pancreas for $100. Kidneys, $125. Limbs, $150. The brain of an 8-week-old child can be sold for almost $999. That is with a 30% discount, it says here. The ears can be sold for $75. This came on ABC, okay, 2020. Ears for $75, eyes for $50, skin for $100, that is 12-week-old child. Then the embryonic cadaver, what is that, whatever that is, for $600. And Dr. Olga Fairfax is a dermatologist, she's a doctor, and she said, when I first saw an advertising on collagen-enriched cosmetics, I was speechless. I'm quoting her. Collagen is the gelatinous substance found in connective tissues, bones, and cartilage. A glance through a local drugstore revealed that the shampoos, most of the shampoos, most of the hand creams, and makeup, and whatever you do, contain collagen. Unless your beauty products specify animal collagen, it could be human, obtained from aborted babies. There is triple profit to be had. The first is from the abortion. The second comes from the sale of the aborted babies' bodies. And the third is from the unsuspected customer buying cosmetics that contain collagen from babies. The next time you buy something, read very carefully if it you know, has these things. Because we are supporting it, really. You may not agree in abortion, but you may support it. And that's why I said when we see this scripture, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, there's more to it. That we are kind of ignorant. Genesis chapter 38:27. Genesis chapter 38:27. And he said, now it came to pass at the time for giving birth, behold, twins were in her womb. You can see, these are real babies, okay? As soon as, you know, God sees that you don't have to be born to be a baby, you know, in creation, at the very beginning, by the very incept, it's a child. And Ecclesiastes 11:5. You do not know, as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes. And we saw the scripture in Psalms 139, right? How God created our frame at the very beginning. Had God fashioned us. God knitted us together. And all the life that we are going to go through on this earth is already written in his books. Psalm 127 verse 3, I'm going to read it for you. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, parents, mothers, dads, you know how that is. And Job chapter 31 verse 15 says, let me read it for you. Did not he that made me in the womb make him, or did not one fashion us in the womb? God fashioned us. God created us in the womb. Isaiah 49:1 says, listen, O islands, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord had called me from the womb, he called me. From the bowels of my mother had he made mention my name. God called me from the womb, and from the bowels of my mother, God mentioned my name. Jeremiah 1:5, God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah did not have to go through and get ordination from anybody. God already ordained him where Jeremiah was still as a baby in the womb. Galatians 1:5 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. This is Apostle Paul talking. Who persecuted the Christians. And then he realized God is the one who called me from my mother's womb. Now what about, of course, abortion is a terrible thing that is happening in this country. And we need to be, I think I made a mistake calling anti-abortionist or whatever like that. It's a pro-abortionist, okay? We need to be anti-abortionist. We need to be very careful when you see this matter, and it is total murder. And we should not, in any way, we should not participate in abortion, especially when we buy things, cosmetics, creams, shampoos, things like that. You can read it very carefully. It can be by aborted babies. What about, and there's another kind of murderers, I would call them the false teachers who are taking many souls. They are murderers too, the false teachers. False teachers, they will starve souls by not teaching the pure word of God. And they can poison soul to death. They can infect the soul so much. And also we see today the lot of churches are not preaching the full counsel of God. They don't expose the sovereignty of God, which is so important. They don't expose the attributes of God, the nature of sin, justification, sanctification. Instead, they preach a pragmatic doctrine, what people like to hear. They starve and poison or infect souls. Many are not even preaching the Ten Commandments. Some, they don't know where it is. A young pastor was preached one day, and somebody came and asked the pastor, "Well, Pastor, where is the Ten Commandments?" And he was embarrassed. He didn't know where it was. A lot of people don't know what is the original sin. They do not preach the law and the gospel. Ask them, what is the gospel? Of course, many would say it is the good news. And there is no good news. If everything is working fine, there is no good news, right? What is the good news if everything is going fine? Of course, there had to be bad news first, right? That's why there's a good news. So the good news is to people, good news is to show there is some danger in the bad news. And what is the bad news? A lot of people don't show the bad news, that it's the original sin, that we have violated the law of God. That is real bad news. And there is death and danger. And there is no righteousness in any man. That is bad news, because we cannot attain a righteousness of God to go to heaven. Because of that, there's going to be punishment. You have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. The judgment of God is going to come. The wrath of God is going to come. Now, the good news is, there's a way that a person can be saved from the wrath of God through Christ Jesus. That is the good news. The good news is, Christ's righteousness, His holiness, can be imputed to the worst sinner. And that worst sinner can become righteous before God. Now that is good news. And that worst sinner can have eternal life. Just like Jews in the Old Testament killed the prophets. Romans killed the holy men of God in the New Testament. Today, majority of the churches are poisoning and killing people's souls by not preaching the truth of God. Today's lot of ministers, they come to the pulpit to crack jokes, makes people laugh. They pollute the word of God. They copy the worldly system. They become people pleasers instead of pleasing God. They preach more to please the ear than to profit the heart. So here we see that God there is punishment. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. Scripture is scripture. It cannot be broken. And I don't like to read, but I have to read. It is true. That's why we preach the law of God. It is so important to show the law of God, the Ten Commandments, because it's not for the Ten Commandments. You don't know that you're a sinner. Do you? Of course not. Because Romans chapter 3, verse 20, you can look for yourself. Romans 3:20 says, "For by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." By the law is the knowledge of sin. I didn't know that I was a sinner. I thought I was a good person. I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't lie. I'm all right. But when the Ten Commandments came, oh, what does it do? It rips your righteousness and shows your nakedness, how guilty you are before God. When the Ten Commandments, James said, even if you keep all the commandments but break just a tiny little bit, you have broken all the commandments. It doesn't matter. Even in an exam, if you're taking an exam in school, and you get 90%. Wow. You got an A plus. 95%, 99%. You got an A plus. Right? 99.9. You got an A plus. But with God, you're failed. God wants 100% righteousness. Because God himself is 100% righteous. So, even if you're so good, but Jesus said, you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Even if you hate your brother in your heart, you're already a murderer. So God sees the heart. And here we see Apostle Paul said that, that we need to forbear one another, forgive one another, you know. So forgiveness is so important. That is found in Christianity. In no other religion you find forgiveness. How we can love our enemies. You know what? Your closest neighbor, alright? Jesus said, love your neighbor. Who is your closest neighbor? Your husband and wife is the closest neighbor. A lot of times you get into fights. The word of God says, love your enemies. That's what he says there. Right? You need to forgive one another in the Lord. Don't allow your pride to get in and say, I'm right, you're wrong. I'll tell you, you know who the stronger person is? The person who admits his fault is a stronger, mature Christian. Because he has strength under control. That is called meekness, strength under control. And so we need to be forgiving one another. Okay, it's so important, just like how Christ forgave us, we need to have that forgiveness, asking forgiveness. And we need to, just like God is long-suffering, Christ was long-suffering, so we need to be long-suffering with patience. So important, we need to have that. Now, let me tell you one more thing before I close. Remember the thief on the cross? Was a murderer. He was crucified along with Christ and he deserved to be died because he was a murderer. And we see that his pain was the same pain as Christ went through. The Lord of life is one side and the thief on the cross was the other side. The nails were so acute, so painful. And he didn't blame anybody. You know, sometimes a lot of pressure comes on us, what do? We get angry, right? When we get hurt, what do? We want to hurt somebody else, right? And here was a thief on the cross. And he was extremely painful. What did he say? He said, Lord, I deserve this. But you don't. Wow. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now this man is not telling this in an air-conditioned, comfortable place. Right? He is saying this when he was extremely hurting, painful, dying, blood pouring. Wow. Jesus said, also who was in pain, also who was in great pain, verily I say to you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. And here is a man who committed murder by violating the law of God that deserved the death penalty, became righteous through Christ Jesus. Tell you, all of us in this room, all of us who are hearing, we have committed murder. One way or the other, we have committed murder. Amen. You got angry with somebody in your heart, really mad at somebody, frothy mad, and that anger was boiling in you. That's murder. How about breaking the law of God? We have become criminal murderers by breaking the holy law of God. We have become murderers. But I'll tell you, God can become murderers into saints. That is the greatest thing we have. How deep your sins are, Jesus can wash and remove the guilt. You know what? A lot of times when we commit something, when we get angry with one another, even when we forgive one another, after that we come and reconcile and forgive, but the guilt is still there, right? Man, that is not going away. It's very hard. I know, God, you have forgiven me, you have washed me, but still, I gotta carry this guilt. But I'll tell you, Jesus removed that guilt. When you're going to go, when you're in heaven, that memory is erased. It is erased. Jesus can wash and remove the guilt. But we need to truly repent. If you truly repent, there is forgiveness from heaven. Let's pray.